Welcome to Politics and Prose, the podcast focused on people and politics. Gail Dudley, the audacious advocate, is an author and activist committed to evoking an awakening that compels people and communities to move beyond the status quo. Gail has created a platform to introduce fresh voices through interviewing guests who are relevant to everyday life. Politics and Prose will also share aggregated political data and present it in a way that takes communities from being informed to taking action. New episodes air on Fridays. Make sure to follow Gail on Instagram, Twitter, and post.news at Gail Dudley. And subscribe to her YouTube, www.youtube.com/Gail Dudley. Tune in to be informed. And make sure to subscribe to Politics and Prose wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. Now let's get into it.
So I want to interview Isaiah today about his new position and the work that he's doing with second and third graders and his experience from just loving on his brother the way that he loves on his brother. So come on in here, Isaiah. Can you bring yourself in here, please? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I can't complain.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So I want to jump in. You and I were having a discussion last week and I said, wow, the viewers need to hear about this. And of course you said, well, I'm off next week, so I can do that. So I got really excited about that. So can you just share, you don't have to name the school, but can you just share what drew you to apply for a job to work with the children that you're working with? So we can all just get a feel for your life and your walk and your purpose, because I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my dad for the longest time said that I would be amazing working with children. He even called me like early childhood development, something like that. So working with kids or just being around them and seeing them light up whenever they're around me, that's inspiring. So that kind of factored into me taking this new position and also just trying to find a way to sew into another child as like I've been sewed into by the adults in my life, you know, my village, my aunties, my uncles, everyone who just believed in me or who knows my family. So that's another reason why I took this job, and also just to make a difference in a child's life. Ever since I took this position, I've had so many second, third graders say, like, you know, seeing me helps them get through their day.
I love that.
If they had a rough weekend, you know, they see me on Monday, they'll be like, hey, Mr. Jones, how are you doing? Stuff like that. And it's so surreal to hear Mr. Jones, even though, like, I'm still kind of young. But it's amazing, like, to say the least.
But that also shows respect. And that means they're putting you in that place of respect. So how has your experience working with these students over the last, month and a half or so, who have special needs, influenced your perspective? And how do you relate that to your relationship with your brother?
Oh, that's a good question. This experience has helped me relate to some situations with my brother through some of the behaviors that some of the students exhibit. We have a few students who are nonverbal, and sometimes they use a communication device. One student, he kind of understands sign language. And I remember when I was younger, my family had a DVD called Baby Signing Time. And we would use that for Isaac because Isaac was still in his nonverbal stage. So it would have phrases like, you know, eat or outside or it would have like signs for animals and stuff. So we would use that for Isaac. And I'm noticing that it's not the exact similar behaviors, but it's definitely similar to what my brother does. Also with the running out of the classroom or running on their tippy toes, that's a clear sign of a child being on the autism spectrum as well. Or if they'll cry, but not out, like you don't see no tears coming out. Or they're covering their ears, that's they're usually sensitive to a lot of noise, or sometimes they're sensitive to people singing. So usually we'll let them wear their headphones for a few minutes and, you know, try to do a reset with them.
I love that. Now, in terms of providing support, you know, I had to, after our conversation, I had to go wrap up these questions. In terms of providing support and understanding, what are some of your key takeaways in some of the interaction? Like when you interact with these student, with the students, and you speak highly of them, by the way, I love how you even talk about them when we meet up in the green room.
Yes.
What are some of the interactions and what are your takeaways and how does it leave you feeling? Like at the end of the day, what's your reward?
My reward is definitely, you know, seeing them the next day or, you know, whenever I come back from my break, you know, I see one of the students having like a rough time. Usually they'll just come up to me and like give me a hug. That's okay. Reassuring, for sure. Knowing that even though I've only been there for a month, knowing that I've made that difference or that I've made that impact, and that I've made them comfortable enough to get used to me. Cause when I first got into that classroom, it was hectic. I'm not even gonna lie. And being the only male, paraprofessional in the room, you know, I have a little bit more, I don't want to say pressure, but responsibility, okay. Especially working with the students, but knowing that there's that level of trust, there's that level of reassurance that, yes, I even though I am a teacher, I look to be more of a mentor, you know, because I'm even though I'm a teacher, I'm still learning stuff on my own. But I'd rather be a mentor. And feel that and create that bond with the student than, you know, just be like a strict teacher and, you know, to make it feel like school isn't fun. Because, you know, with the way the you know, a child develops, they already think school is boring. So, you know, I feel like it's part of my responsibility to make it a little bit more engaging, a little bit more exciting for them.
Okay. You said something. I'm going to back up and grab that. You're the only male paraprofessional in that system?
In that classroom, yes.
In that classroom. Okay. I was like, wow. And I think that's needed more and more today to see male figures, including Black male figures. So what has motivated you to study in this field? Because when I'm starting to see unfold, you have your freelance, you have your media, your photography, and this educational piece that I love how it's all connecting. So talk a little bit about that, about the motivation behind that. And you're balancing it well, by the way.
Thank you. It gets exhausting some days, but I still find the energy to push through it. And it ties back to what I said earlier. Just being able to work with kids and inspire them, you know, even with the kids at my church, that was a huge factor into taking this position. You know, whenever I'm doing videography at New Salem and, you know, after service, I have a couple, you know, kids who ask me, you know, how do I work the cameras, or like they're interested in joining the media team because they see what I do. That's inspiring, for real. And also just knowing that, you know, that there is that level of trust, or like, you know, their parents know me from watching me grow up. There's this funny story that, you know, when I was a baby in New Salem, I would stand up in the pew with overalls and a bottle hanging from my mouth. That's basically been my story ever since I was young. You know, ask my mom and dad about that. I feel like I didn't do that. So, but just knowing that, you know, I'm making a difference, or that I'm inspiring someone to step out their comfort zone, because this is new for me, you know, being a teacher, or, you know, kind of being a paraprofessional. It's definitely something new to me, but it's also exciting in a way to kind of step out of your boundaries and try something new. It helps you learn a lot about yourself and, you know, your resilience too.
I love that. I'm sitting here as I'm listening to you, and you were giving the example, the illustration of church. I can see you now in your overalls on the pew with the bottle hanging out your mouth. I can see that. And I can see your mother clapping and singing next to you. I can see all that. So with that being said, it seems as if, especially when I tie this into your brother, Isaac, it seems as if you were being prepared for such a time as this. So that scripture is coming forth too out of Ecclesiastes. So what do you think has been your preparation to be where you are right now? Because so often I think people come out of high school or even when they're in middle school saying, I'm going to do this or I'm going to be this. But when they come out, there's this path that's taken. But it's like I'm using Davia's word here, we pivot to another direction. So what's that pivot and what has been that preparation for you to get to where you are here?
I kind of wanted to, I like what you said there when we pivot from, you know, what we're going to do in middle school and high school. No matter how much you try to plan for life, something always changes, whether it be good or bad. You can literally plan stuff out in advance, like months, weeks, days. And no matter what happens, something always changes. Think of this as not really, I think of this as a new opportunity. I said, to learn more about myself, because like I said, I'm 20, about to be 21 soon. And I'm learning that, yes, videography and multimedia, that's my calling. Like, that's what I love to do. You know, that's my passion. You know, every time I hold a camera, my eyes just light up and my creativity, it just gets stirred. But also working with kids, that's, you know, that's something that I've been good at too, or just interacting with them. And that's not just with my students, but with other students at the school that I work with. There's some other second and third graders, whenever they see me and they're having a rough day, they'll ask their teachers if they can come see me in my room for a quick second.
Oh, I love that. That means you're leaving an impression.
Yes.
Yeah.
A huge impression. You know, they'll see me walking by in the cafeteria whenever I'm taking my students to lunch, and they'll literally move from one table and come sit over by me.
That's also an anointing as well. Let's recognize that.
Yes, it is. And just, I'm grateful for everything that I'm doing. I do not take this for granted. And I like that when Kim Edmondson said, it's okay to have multiple gifts and talents, because it is. Don't limit yourself at all, you know, to just one skill and one talent.
Yes. It took me 58 years to get to that. Okay. That was my summer break experience I've shared with some of you. And it's like, why do we put ourselves in this box? We don't have to. But I think so often people try to make a decision. What are you going to do, this or this? And it's like, but I love all of it. So why not be able to do it? But then they label us as, oh, they're just doing just way too many things. And they're just this, that, and the other. It's like, no, this is my gift. This is what brings me joy. So I'm glad you're learning this at your age.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't limit yourself at all. Don't like put a label on yourself at all. You have so much potential that hasn't been tapped in yet. And you just need someone to invest in you. You need that person to open that door for you. And sometimes most of the time it's God, but other times, you know, it could be a relative, you know, someone, a colleague that, you know, that's going to give you that slight push towards that promotion, towards that next step.
I love
that's
that.
Really all you need.
Your mom is saying when Isaiah was younger, he would leave his classroom to go check on his brother before he started his day. He always been his brother's keeper. That purpose is manifesting in his life now. And God, I thank you. Lori Wallace is saying, I got more questions, so y'all can just hang out. We're going to hang out for a minute. He's off today, so we can hang out. Lori Wallace says, there's no way Isaiah would be this caring, faithful, and knowledgeable without great examples from his parents. Be everything you can be, dear. Just don't have a box. Don't. I agree with that. Marion Jackson is saying, Isaiah, you are an awesome, inspiring young man. I second that. Regina Shorts is saying, where am I? Where am I? Oh, no. Davia is saying, no gift left behind. I agree with that. And Regina Shorts is saying, you're so wise, Isaiah. Don't limit your gifts. And I think so many people try to put us there. It's like, you can't do media and you can't do publishing. Well, why not? Media and publishing, they're the same things. Or you can't do media and you can't do politics. You can't do graphic design and this. You can't do freelance photography and work in a classroom. Why not? Let's stop limiting each other and doing that. So, you know, I got more questions for you. You got time?
Listen, I got time.
Because I'm loving this. I'm loving this. Can you share with the listeners any memorable, heartwarming moments that you've experienced with Isaac that you have that have helped you influence your career choices, even with the photography, the videography, working in the classroom, and all the other gifts that you do? What are some memorable, heartwarming moments that you don't mind sharing as long as we're not going into anything private?
No, you're good. I'm just thinking because there's so many moments with Isaac. Like, there's not enough time in the day.
He's a senior. I'm like, he's a senior in high school.
That, yeah. Y'all hear that? Y'all nephew is a senior in high school.
Yeah,
so.
he went to homecoming. I was watching your mom's videos on Facebook. Like, nobody asked my permission for him to go to homecoming. Like, what is this?
I had a few aunties that were upset that we didn't let them know about the send off. So I had to defend Mama Bear for that. But a couple of examples of some heartwarming moments I remember of Isaac that kind of inspired my professional choices. Just seeing him how he is in church, his interactions, and his growth. He went from being this timid kid who would wear headphones because the drums were too loud, to now he doesn't even wear headphones. He's authentic in his praise. And it's inspiring, and it makes me want to not really want to be a better person, but kind of rebuild my own relationship with God. Because I'm able to admit that in the past I've struggled with kind of acknowledging God, but seeing how my brother is and not really comparing his relationship to my own, because everybody's relationship is different. But just seeing how he is in church and his growth in that, seeing how he used to direct the side chapel whenever the choir was singing, and how he would just jump around and clap. That's so inspiring to me. Or sometimes when he would just jump in when someone was missing from the run through, whether it be an organ player. Now, granted, the organ would be off, but he would jump on the organ and he would act like he was playing, or he would give the morning scripture. He would go right back to ushering. Isaac is definitely authentic in whatever he does. And, I'm so grateful for not only our village, our extended families, the aunties, the uncles, but for our church. They have made that place a second home for Isaac. And I am so grateful to not only New Salem, but Pastor Troy and Mrs. Brenda Troy for just loving on him the way that they have.
Yeah.
That has truly been a blessing. And he loves them. He loves them. He talks highly of them all the time. Being able to go to church with my brother and just us being us, the Jones boys, that's really what it's all about. And that's kind of that's been the main example of like why I do what I do. I know a lot of people say, oh, you should do what you do for you. No, I do what I do for my brother. So that way he doesn't have to go through life, through all the dark spots. Now, granted, he's going to have his challenges, but the last thing I want is for my brother to be taken advantage of. I do what I do.
I hear that. You have people coming in here, and I still have about two more questions, so hold on. Dr. Antoinette says, male teachers matter. Thank you for providing a role model to some young man who may not otherwise have one. Talking about Isaac being a choir director, I've seen him do that. Yes, and it just gives me joy. He's like, I don't even pay attention to choir, I'm paying attention to Isaac. Lori Wallace saying he's such a wonderful young man. Kim Evanson says now he's the drummer.
Yep. Y'all's
beautiful time together on Sundays. And then your mom says, thank you, News in Motion family, for encouraging our son. You are absolutely welcome. He's a joy to be on here to work with. So what advice, this is a question similar to it that I asked my daughter during the podcast last week. And I'm loving hearing from you young people this month. What advice would you offer to other young adults or college students who have siblings with autism or any type of special needs, particularly in terms of providing support, fostering understanding, or seeking a career in this field?
One, definitely have a lot of patience. Have a lot of patience. Realize that they're different. But they don't have a disability. They have different abilities. Always remember that. They process things different than us. They think different than us. And sometimes they don't know what they're doing. And, we shouldn't fault them for that. But definitely have a lot of patience. Utilize your village. Utilize your family. Realize that you do not have to do everything on your own. Seek that therapist, seek that counselor, seek those doctors, seek your churches. Those are like going to be the main places to go to, on those days where you're feeling drained or like you don't know what else to do. They're going to give you those people to connect with and those resources. Also, just connect with other people who have the similar situations. Connect with other siblings who might have, siblings who are on the autism spectrum or who might have Down syndrome, whatever the case may be. Connect with them, build a support group. Because talking to someone who is going through the same situation as you, it's definitely a stress reliever. And it also, you realize that, wow, I'm not going through this alone. You can relate with me, something like that. So definitely have a lot of patience. I know that's easier said than done. But utilize your family, utilize your village, y'all. Like I said, I'm so grateful for our village. To Miss Gail Dudley, I almost called her an auntie. She is my auntie, y'all. She is.
You're my nephew.
to Miss Kim Emerson, who's also my auntie. And those are relationships built through my parents. Mm-hmm. And it's all like a butterfly effect. It all trickles down. It's actually like a bloodline, y'all. So utilize that village, utilize your churches, your counselors, get those resources, and don't be afraid to ask questions. And it's funny because my brother, he used to watch a show called Daniel Tiger.
Called what? Say that again.
The show would be called Daniel Tiger.
Okay.
And Isaac would watch this, and they would have like different songs and stuff for different situations. So if somebody was sick, Isaac would say, when you're sick, rest is best, rest is best. Or when you have a question, ask questions about what happens, it might help. And that is just thinking about that, it's just mind blowing to know that he's using television. And, shows that, yes, they're more catered to, younger kids. But you got to remember, Isaac, even though he's about to be 19, he's still, his brain waves are that of like a 6-year-old, 7-year-old. So just seeing that and how he's applying that to his life, it's definitely awe-inspiring.
Wow. Davia says, Isaiah, how you got me crying and praising this early in the morning? Hey, listen, I'm sitting here like, I would just want to break loose, really, because I'm just listening to him. I'm just like, yes, 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 yes. This is great. This is great. So I'm sorry, I have more. Looking at your own growth and experience, I think this is helping people. Looking at your own growth and experience, how have your interactions with your brother influenced your ability to connect with other people your age who may not have the same experiences as you. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely can. Just seeing, like I said, Isaac is definitely authentic in everything he does. And his growth, going from that shy, timid kid to him walking up to you, calling you by name and like giving you a handshake, a hug. Now, if Isaac really loves you, he's going to get a selfie with you. He is going to get a selfie with you. If Isaac really loves you, he is going to take a selfie with you.
I've had a few.
So just know that, you know, if either that you get a selfie with him or like you'll get a movie character name. So for us, he loves Madagascar. You know, I'm known as Melman the Giraffe. He doesn't call me Isaiah. He might call me bro, big bro on like on a good day, but 9 times out of 10, whenever you're like, I'm calling him or like we see each other, I'm Melman the Giraffe. And I've learned to accept that. You know, I've just learned to accept that. And also making sure that he's included, you know, you know, don't make your child or whoever is on like the autism spectrum or whoever has special needs, don't make them feel left out. Include them in stuff. Include them in the social events, include them in everything that you do. I know at Isaac's school, they have something called a Ford rally. It's kind of like a pep rally. And this was the year after I had graduated. And you know, they were having their Ford rally or like they have a talent show and they'll literally encourage Isaac, you know, to sing, to dance, to do whatever. And like they'll hype him up. And I've had people send me videos of it. You know, there's been times where last year, around this time for my birthday, he was at his concert singing What a Wonderful World. And he dedicated a small part of that to me. He's like, "Your big 20, Isaiah Jones, happy birthday." And that almost broke me. And I was recording. I was like, "Come on, man, you can't be doing that." Like, come on, dog. Like,
I love this. So can you share some strategies for you and for and to share with others or resources that have helped you navigate challenges and responsibilities as a college student, as a freelancer, and now as a teacher, a paraprofessional? So can you share some of the strategies and resources that have helped you navigate? I know it's just been a short time, but I know you've made some adjustments. So to teach other, you know, to share with other people your age who may be balancing a few things at the same time, what are some strategies or resources that have helped you navigate these differences, these challenges, or possible challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. Give yourself grace. Know that you are going through a lot and, you know, it may feel like you're dealing with a lot, but give yourself grace and be proud of your accomplishments, not just right now, but in your past too. Because what you have accomplished in your past are shaping you to be the person that you're going to be in the future. Know that it's okay to take breaks. I know for me, you know, whenever I try to take a break, it's you know, easier said than done, especially when it comes to videography, because like I said, that's something that I love to do. But now I'm starting to like, you know, be like, "Hey, I can't come in this day," or like, you know, I'm going to take this day off, you know, trying to just to rest or like for some self-care. Do that as well. And don't compare your pace to other people's. You know, I know in the days, you know, with today's world with social media, we like to compare other people's lifestyle to ours. And most of the time, it's just a front. So be patient with yourself. Be proud of the progress that you're making right now. But don't be content. You know, be motivated to keep going. And like I said, don't compare yourself to another person's, you know, pace or race or whatever. Your time is coming. You just have to be patient and, you know, just keep grinding at it. I know that's easier said than done. I know there's going to be days where you don't feel like it, but, you know,
yeah,
that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I love what your mom said here. Don't feel guilty about self-care.
Not at all.
Don't feel guilty about self-care. Y'all, he'll be 21 on Friday, so I'm going to need y'all drop him a Cash App. He's dropping us some serious nuggets, okay? And y'all know I believe in paying people for their time. So that Cash App is Isaiah Jones 1916. Again, that's Isaiah Jones 1916. I have one more question before we get out of here. I love the fact that we're now relaxed and we don't have to like be trying to hit the clock. Remember, I said we came back in September, the 11th. We may be on here 5 minutes, 15 minutes, or longer. And so today is just one of those days because I think you are helping people and the numbers aren't changing up there. So people are hanging around. In your college journey, and I just love how you were acing things like ongoing. Have you encountered opportunities to advocate for your peers who may be on the autism spectrum? And if so, what has that been like for you?
I haven't had as many opportunities as I would like to, but there are still definitely some opportunities to advocate for my peers who might be on autism spectrum. I know a friend of mine who I went to middle school and high school with. I didn't know that he was on the autism spectrum until about my junior year of high school. And that his brother is also on the autism spectrum as well. And I have another friend who his brother is on the autism spectrum. So just knowing that, you know, we build that bond. And even though we don't see each other on campus, you know, we text each other, we check in. You know, we ask like, hey, bro, if there's anything you need, you know, if you need to vent to somebody, you know, I get it. I understand. You're not going through this alone. You know, talk to your people. It's I know that us as a people, you know, when I say us, I'm talking about, you know, African-Americans. We find it difficult to talk about our issues, but it's actually therapeutic and it's relieving knowing that somebody could be going through the same thing that you are. So remember that you're not alone in this. Talk to somebody. And if you don't feel like talking it out, just write it out. Write it out, sing it out, do whatever you have to do, dance it out, walk it out, do whatever you have to do. I know that for me, the last few months, I've been journaling how I've been feeling or some strategies that I could do differently, not just with, you know, my career, not just with school, but with my family and with myself, especially mentally and emotionally as well, doing a better job of, you know, some of the things I say and how I say them, and also the way that I carry myself and affirm myself.
Have you ever thought about, you know me, I'm always seeing opportunities. Have you ever thought about, and maybe you already are doing this, starting a small group of some sort and just having once a month check-in or conversations or building strategies or anything like that? If so, can you speak to that? You know, your Auntie Gail, I will always see an opportunity and be like, hey. So have you ever thought about, or maybe you're doing that now, just to even in a non-official what capacity?
I have thought about that. I know back like a few months ago, I would have like a check-in with some of my like, well, some of like my younger people. I know with them, I would take like a Saturday out of the month, you know, we would meet up at like, you know, Easton or something like that, get something to eat and just talk about life, mental health, anything that they wanted to talk about. And, you know, there was that confidentiality, you know, unless it was something serious, you know, then I would tell a parent, of course. But, you know, just kind of doing that. I definitely want to start that back up again. You know, definitely do that for with peers my age. You know, taking that time or setting that, you know, that Saturday or like, you know, a day aside and just, you know, just leaving it all on the table. You know, whatever is said stays in that group, but. I definitely want to do that again.
I love that. Elizabeth Town says many adults don't find out they are on the autism spectrum until adulthood because the testing wasn't available to us in our youth and young adulthood. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. And then you want to speak to that before I go to Deborah Johnson?
No, I just never realized that. So thank you for that as well. I know when we found out about Isaac's diagnosis, he was 2 years old, I want to say. So, you know, if you can find out sooner rather than later, please do. But I did not, you know that, you know, most adults didn't find out that they were on autism spectrum until adulthood. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And then she grabbed the hashtag, leaving it all on the table. And then Deborah Johnson says, journaling is so healing. And y'all know Deborah Johnson is our go-to with writing. She's wanting to bring back writing. She's starting a movement with writing, and journaling is a part of that. Well, Isaiah, this has been inspiring. This has been amazing. I'm sitting here thinking, wow, my nephew's really getting ready to turn 21, and you're sounding like you're about to turn 45 or so with all your wisdom and knowledge that you're bringing forth. If there's one thing that you could say to your millennial, are you a millennial?
I think I'm Gen Z.
Gen Z. Okay. Because I, you know, those numbers cut off are really strange to me. So you're, what would you say to other Gen, is it, would I say right by saying, call them Gen Zers or Gen Z group? I don't know. I know I'd probably just jack that up completely. Y'all know me by now, whatever. But what would you say to someone else who's in that group of being a Gen Z or millennial mm-hmm. who find that maybe they're not really excited where they are right now? I mean, everyone, y'all, this will go into our inspirational message, which I'm going to let Isaiah's words be the final words for today. But what would you say to them if they're saying, if you know that they're stuck, or you know they're not necessarily happy doing what they're doing. They want to make a career change or do something different, but because their family have said to them for years that they're going to be XYZ, they feel like they have to do that. What would you say to that person who really has a passion and love for something else, but maybe instead of making 100 grand, 100,000 a year, they may be making 40 to 60,000 per year, and you don't want money to stop them. What would you say? What would be some words of inspiration to them before we sign out of here today?
Go for it. Just do it. Do what you love to do. Follow that path. And if it's not about the money that you enjoy, but it's the activity or the occupation that you enjoy doing, it won't be, you know, work for you. It'll just kind of be like a hobby in a way, a hobby that you didn't pay for, basically. That is one thing that I want to say. Another thing that I would say is, like I said earlier, be proud of your progress. Be proud of the pace that you're going at. If you feel like there's a change that needs to be made, you know, self-reflect and self-evaluate with that. What does that look like for you? Whether it be networking with some new people, whether it's journaling, whatever that may look like, take that chance, take that risk. Because life without risk is, you know, it's boring for real. It really is.
I love that. How can people get in touch with you? Speaking of getting in touch, let's say somebody's listening to this. We've been really pushing for the month of October that people, young people, tune in to hear from our young people. So if somebody says, you know what, I want to get in touch with that young man. I want him to come speak at our youth conference. I want him to come speak at our young adult conference. I want him to come speak at a community, whatever. I want him to come and mentor. I want him to come do whatever. And yes, I will pay him to do it. Hello, somebody. How could people get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me through email. I am on Facebook. Email, Facebook.
So can you give everybody your email address, please?
Yes, I can. Actually, I will put it in the chat right now.
Essie's putting that in the chat, y'all. Again, Isaiah will be turning 21 on Friday. So I want us to do whatever we can to bless this young man. Y'all just heard him today. He's phenomenal. His Cash App again, and I'm going to try to find, what's your Cash App, Isaiah?
It is Isaiah Jones 1916. And I also take Zelle, too.
Okay, so Isaiah Jones 1916. He also takes Zelle, and then his email is Isaiah Jones. Let's pop that up there as well. Isaiah Jones 3204. I'm sorry, is it Isaiah dot Jones?
Yes. 3204@gmail.com.
Say that one more time for us, please.
Isaiah dot Jones 3204@gmail.com.
Yeah, y'all. This has been amazing. And I cannot thank you enough. So I'm going to be quiet. Give us a word of inspiration before we check out of here.
Okay. Just way to throw me in the fire there, auntie, but I got you. I want to send this inspirational message to everyone, but mostly to the young people. Just know that you are seen, you are heard, you are valued, you are loved. Anybody can say that they love you, but only a few people can value you. So know your worth and value yourself. Know the purpose that you walk in. Know who you are and whose you are. That would probably be the most inspirational thing I can think of to say right now. Just know that you are seen, you are heard, you are loved, and you are valued. Know that I'm proud of you, and whatever that you are choosing to do. If you have an idea, go for it. Don't be afraid to take a chance, take that risk, and don't put yourself in a box. Don't limit yourself. Don't put a label on yourself, on the gifts, the talents that you can do. Just be proud of yourself, be proud of your progress, and stop comparing yourself to other people. I wish that we would stop doing that in today's world, but just know that I'm proud of you. I value, I see you, and I love you. So that's all. that is all. And with that being said, y'all know what we do over here. Stay well, make some bold moves, and live your life abundantly.
New episodes air on Fridays. Make sure to follow Gail on Instagram, Twitter, and post.news at Gail Dudley. And subscribe to her YouTube, www.youtube.com/Gail Dudley. Tune in to be informed. And make sure to subscribe to Politics and Prose wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode.